So, when I was a child, I had this pretty little box with a crank handle on the side. And I would turn it and turn it as some silly sounding circus music played. Suddenly, out of a little door would spring a puppet guy on a spring. We called him Jack. I think for a large part of my life, I've treated God like a jack-in-the-box. I leapt over issues which made me uncomfortable, used Christian speak to sound like I understood things, and wore my best I know clothes so other people would think highly of me. All the while, I was merely dating God, holding him at a distance in case he got too close and I became uncomfortable. And of course, we all know, it's all about our comfort, right?
Right.
We've got to stop jumping over scripture that makes us uncomfortable, like the lady I met at church who had a Bible with portions of scripture blacked out. When I asked her why, she said,
"Oh, those are the scriptures I don't like."
She was reading a redacted Bible and was good with that. Oh my. In Colossians 4, Paul is going along, mentioning this person who is doing well and that person sending their greetings. And then he mentions Luke the physician and a guy named Demas. In Colossians 4, Demas is counted as part of the ministry team along with Epaphras, Luke, and some others. Then in 2 Timothy 4, we read that Demas has left the troop of believers. And Paul says, my paraphrase, Demas loved the world more than God or us and has gone back. I'm not here to present a doctrine to dispute with anyone, but I am here to ask, what about Demas? What do we do with Demas, and how does that impact our pet doctrines? If everything in Scripture is important, and heaven and earth will not pass until every jot and tittle is fulfilled, then we can't keep jumping over scriptures which make us uncomfortable. I'm not here to solve the dilemma over Demas, but to pose us an opportunity to engage with God in pursuing the details of Scripture. For years, I totally avoided 1 John because it was so black and white, and I was so uncomfortable. Pretty funny, but true. The truth is, all Scripture is relevant, and we must do something with it. The Lord doesn't desire we wait until someone else solves the controversy, but that we would dig it out for ourselves. Now, that doesn't mean the things we aren't given any insight about should trouble us. Those are things we must wait to know about, of course. But in the meantime, there are indeed other facets of the Lord we can discover. We can't continue to leap over 1 John just because it makes us uncomfortable. Neither can we cherry-pick certain scriptures from it to support our agenda. All scripture is relevant and should be taken into account. Let me suggest we take a closer look to understand three things. C, C, C. Content, context, and culture. Content. What does it actually say? Looking past the English translation, which easily misses God's point sometimes. Context. Reading the preceding verses and following verses to understand better what is being said. And culture, which greatly impacts the wording, metaphors, and scenario sequences. Above all, ask the Lord for wisdom and understanding. Proverbs 4, 5-7. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Did you get that? The beginning of having wisdom is knowing you've got to get some wisdom. And in all you're getting, get insight too. And friends, we've got plenty of hindsight. We need insight. It's not enough to parrot cool and catchy things someone else said. The Lord wants you to have ideas of your own, which He has inspired in you. They will be unique and will reflect what's going on in your life. We all have reflected the words and actions of someone else, but consider who we follow around and, quote, speaks loudly of our preferences. And it isn't enough to stand and stare waiting for someone else to give us the answers. God is our source, not merely a resource. As long as the Lord is made to sit on the outer rim of our lives, revolving around our lives, it's not enough. We should revolve around Him, not Him around us. In Luke 14, Jesus said, if we don't hate our mother, father, wife, and children, we can't be His disciples. In Matthew 19, Jesus said to honor your father and mother and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Then in Titus, the writer talks about hating others as a terrible thing. Then in 1 John, the apostle says, if you hate your brother, you're in darkness, you're a murderer and a liar. I'm not saying an answer, but I am saying we each must do something with that. We know the Bible is not contradictory, so it must not be God who is confused, but us who don't get it. Not to mention a possibly poor translation. We can't keep jumping over these issues without doing the work to understand more exactly what God is saying. When we don't resolve scriptural issues, or at least reconcile them, maybe refusing to even consider them because it causes us to be uncomfortable, it makes it all too easy to build a doctrine on fairy tales. For years, I was good with keeping God in a box, someplace where He was manageable. I would take Him out when I needed something and put Him back when I was done. It suited me to keep Him as a resource, only reading and praying as much as necessary so as to not be uncomfortable, or when I wanted Him to do something or get me something. Let's stop jumping over things because they may be uncomfortable. Being brave to look these issues in the eye and understand what God is saying, not taking someone else's word for it all anymore. You know what I mean? What do you think? Thank you for listening. I'm Social Porter with Living in His Name Ministries.